into space.
Wow, that's...
But in probe form.
Oh, that sucks.
So, Mars? First up? Before going outwards?
I suppose that would be a logical first step.
Or even the moon. The moon's closer.
Well, yeah. But we've been to the moon.
We have been to the moon.
And it's pretty dead. Well, maybe.
Dun, dun, dun.
Okay, so Mars. How about the moon on Mars? The Phobos? With that, rock. It's, like, pointed upwards. Out of this weird, like, little potato-shaped object.
Yeah, that reminds me of Doom so much that it's scary. Because those took place on Phobos and Deimos. They were weird teleportation gates that led to hell.
Whoa.
And demons came flooding out of them when humans began experimenting on them.
Humans gotta go mucking around in everything they don't understand.
But I suppose in the end it only took one guy to clean it all up, so it's not too bad.
Isn't that always the story?
Well, I hope I'm that guy.
That would be fun.
I don't want to be the other guys.
Oof, yeah. Weird face on Mars. Was the plank on Mars or on the moon? That was probably...
That was on Mars. The supposed wood plank that's just sitting there.
Plank of wood.
I'm sure we're going to be told. Or if we were, we probably were told that it was some optical illusion.
Well, maybe it's some kind of, like, Ray Bradbury in the Martian Chronicles, where we're looking at remnants from a future human settlement on Mars. There's some kind of weird time warp cyclical thing going on. The past is the future. The future is the present. The past is the future?
Like, the light from a lot of the stars that we see are quite a few years older than what we think.
Yeah. That makes me wonder that if you could warp to a star, would you go back in time? Or would it seem like it?
Well,
visually speaking,
if we could go there, we could create a more accurate star chart of what it actually looks like instead of looking at it through what we have. So once we've established where it is and what we're doing, it would be just like a part of any other map. Instead of, like, if you can go to one time zone and then come back to a different time zone.
But like a billion years after you went to some star... Well, via warp, say.
It just looked different.
That's a billion light years away.
Yeah, well, that's
the
weird.
Light coming at the Earth would be very strange.
I guess that would be... Wow.
Assuming you could, you know, zoom in that far.
I wasn't really thinking of that grand a scale. But I guess you kind of have to.
Or even just 10 light years. Like a decade from now, you could take snapshots of your visit to some other... extrasolar planet.
Whoa. As long as we're going the speed of light.
I was saying faster than the speed of light in that scenario.
Oh, okay.
So that you could beat the
weird time thing.
You could go there and come back and see it come at you as light was just traveling along. However it does. They say that from a photon's point of view, it's emitted and absorbed in the same instant. No matter how far it travels.
Wow.
So, yeah, wrap your mind around that shit.
That's pretty interesting. Like, instantaneous.
Yeah, just zapped.
Whoa.
But, meanwhile, us slow creatures... see it go across the heavens and collide with a star or something. Like, the light that hits us every day is a million years old on average.
Oh, yeah.
Because the photons bounce around in the sun for so long.
Oh, because it's generated inside and it comes out. It's a fight to get out.
Right.
Yeah. Whoa. That's a pretty wild one, too.
but to its point of view, it's being emitted and absorbed in the same instant. So what's actually going on?
We think too linear.
How do you think non-linearly?
We probably have to grow our brains.
You're not thinking fourth dimensionally.
I don't know.
Mars, though. I think the face is just a mountain, but it's a pretty cool-looking mountain.
There are random things that happen in nature, but I don't know, I think it's pretty darn cool that something like that happened on a planet that's looks pretty barren as far as, like, landscape features. It's got that one really huge canyon thing going on, like the Grand Canyon, and it's got a couple poles.
Well, that's sort of like our abyssal trench. Like, that was the deepest part of the Martian ocean. And it's looking like now that we have several probes there that water or, well, liquid forms on Mars. Mostly water, I would guess. It's either that or, like, carbon dioxide. When there's summer at the poles, that refreezes. So it's kind of like a little Earth that's really old.
Wild.
Or maybe not as old. I don't know. Maybe because it's less massive, it geologically aged faster.
Yeah.
We should find out, though, by shooting things at it. Things with people inside them.
Yeah. Mission to Mars. What comes after Mars?
The asteroid belt, maybe? The dwarf planets?
Those are pretty wild. They say that the asteroid belt was a planet at one time.
It's possible.
That was destroyed by a passing celestial body.
Whoa. That's pretty scary.
I think that maybe the moon wasn't always our moon. Our moon is the most unique moon in our solar system. The most unique moon we've ever found, I think.
Yeah, it's more like Mercury than, say, Phobos or Deimos or a lot of the Galilean moons. Although those are pretty strange, too.
Yeah, like Titan.
Titan is a fucking trip.
Is there the Europa? I think Europa's another wild one up there.
Europa's the one of the ice ones.
Yeah, but they think it was like actual water underneath the ice.
Yeah, it has cryovolcanic activity. That's one of the ones that could support life. The probe they landed on Titan.
We have a probe on Titan?
Yeah, the one just before this recent Mars one. I don't know when it landed, though. It sent back touchdown data that it, like, sort of hit, like, a snow kind of material. Like, that compressed down, and then it skidded for a little bit. But the temperatures and pressures on Titan are such that that snow would be made of maybe methane or ethanol or a hydrocarbon of some kind.
That's weird to think about.
Stuff that would melt us.
Different kinds of rain. It doesn't have to be water to be rain.
Yeah, if there's life similar fog to the kind of life that we see on Earth, on Titan, it exists at, like, negative 200 degrees Celsius.
Which is...
Or wait, that's... not that cool. Or maybe that cool.
That's still, I gotta look that one up. Life, kinds of way, and we see that sort of thing here on Earth too, with like little shrimp living in the ice up in
what are they called, extremophiles.
Yeah.
There's ones that live in really polluted areas. There's the mold that grows on the inside of Chernobyl. Talked about that one last time.
Yeah, that's pretty weird. But
weird shit that lives in caves.
Mushrooms.
Think, like, if there was that kind of stuff going on Mars whenever ago, a billion years ago, and, you know, catastrophic things happened on the planet, it could seal off a system of caves that have a volume of water in them similar to a sea or an ocean.
Yeah.
And there could be living things in there, perfectly content to just live out their weird little lives,
never seeing a human
or the light of day at all.
Yeah.
Translucent skin,
weird light emitters,
little imp-like creatures. Their language sounds like
they have spears and little rocks and sticks.
The axial tilt of Titan is zero.
Well, pretty exact.
Temperature 93.7 Kelvin. Negative 179.5 degrees Celsius.
What was the zero? The
axial tilt.
Axial tilt.
0 degrees.
Earth has a moving tilt, right?
Yeah, it's perturbed.
Yeah. Up until recently, it was pretty standard, right? It always did pretty much the same thing. If I remember right, it was pretty...
There is a precession of it that I think is 12,500 years.
Yeah. Because I think, if I remember right, it was going pretty steady, and I'm pretty sure it's getting pretty wild now.
That's not good. Let's see if we can find something.
So, is it Saturn or Uranus that has the tilt where its pole faces the sun?
Say what?
Is it Saturn or Neptune?
Oh, it's Uranus.
Uranus that has the pole that faces the sun?
It has something like a 98 degree axis. Man, so one pole always faces the sun and one always faces darkness.
Man, that's wild.
And it's all gas, too. So, well, whatever little rocky core has. More atmosphere than rock. So that's just all... Like, imagine if one half of the Earth was always getting bombarded by radiation and all
just
kinds of stuff.
Directly.
Like, hardcore aurora borealis.
Because the magnetic sphere is, like, right there. It has one. But the pole where it normally channel it upwards and put it down into the ground is like right there on top.
Yeah, it's
an open hole.
It's like perpendicular to the field that the sun is making.
But I bet the South Pole is wicked strong
and cold. I don't know. It might be. I wonder
what a strange
if its moons are also tilted. Like, if they almost orbit Uranus perpendicular to the ecliptic of our solar system.
Well, isn't its rings?
It does have rings like that, yeah.
It's got rings that go around like that. So it's probably, I mean, that's how its gravitational force would be working.
Okay. okay, there's an article here about the earthquake in Japan. And it supposedly shifted the Earth's axis by 6.5 inches.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I heard about that. That doesn't sound like a lot, but in the greater scheme of things, it's kind of spooky. It's a good jog.
Well, if earthquakes are proportional to axial changes, well, there's been a lot of earthquakes lately.
Oh,
especially in the Pacific.
That's a really good point.
Even if each one, or each strong one, knocked the Earth's axis by a millimeter, that would add up. In a single lifetime, several degrees could take place.
Dude, yeah, but there's so many earthquakes. I know that one's a big one, but even the little ones probably do their own little part. Right?
I hope it's not directly proportional. Like, if a 9.0 scale equals 6.5 inches, then a 7.0 equals 4 inches.
Yeah, because we have a lot of 1.0s and 2.0s.
There's a lot of 7s. We've seen a ton of those lately.
Trying not to touch on that, but
yeah, there's been a lot. Or just 5 is big.
There's been a lot of those. A lot of tornadoes, a lot of storms. Hurricane Sandy was the biggest hurricane we've ever seen here on Earth.
And it was really far north. Really far. And also, this year, they're naming all of the winter storms really treacherous names, too. Like, Caesar. Like, they're all named after tyrants and the people associated with tyrants. One was Brutus. That was the one that was recent.
I wonder who decides the names for the those kind of storms.
Somebody with an awesome job. He just sits in a weird room surrounded by weather monitoring equipment, scrawling weird names in a shorthand that only he understands. If you could decipher the names, you could predict every weather pattern.
Ooh.
Oh.
He knows the future. How about that?
Uranus has a ring system, a magnetosphere, and numerous moons, according to Wikipedia.
Do we know if the moons do the same orbit as the rings?
They do. How odd.
Yeah.
There's Titania,
so,
Ariel, Umbriel, and Miranda.
Okay, so if there's nothing farther out in Uranus's orbit, or it's like, yeah, around it, like its moons, what's holding all those moons from falling in? Are they falling in really fast, or are they at a normal moon pace?
They're orbiting Uranus.
Well, yeah, but I thought, like, everything kind of played its part, like Jupiter kind of tugged on us so we didn't fall into the sun all fast. And that the whole reason they were looking for another celestial body was because they thought, like, well, Jupiter has to have something holding it out there. And Saturn, it's another giant, but something has to hold that out there. So what's holding all these planets out away from the sun?
Centrifugal force.
That's a pretty good one.
Let's see. Supposedly they all collapsed from the accretion disk, the leftovers of the matter that formed the sun. And they would have formed into planetoids that knocked into each other over and over again. Until the planets as we know them
were finally honed.
Yeah, until they were of that mass. And then, like, I bet the moons of Jupiter, some of them at least, are proto-planets. Like, if they didn't get captured by that system, they would have knocked into other things and gathered more mass and gathered more mass and maybe gotten more atmosphere.
Yeah.
Or Titan, for example. That's a really big moon and really gassy.
Just a little bit too far out. Got picked up by Jupiter. So
some of those planetoids would have been knocked out from collision, but wouldn't have had escape velocity of the sun. The sun is still hugely massive compared to the biggest planets,
yeah, Jupiter and one of them, yeah.
Sort of like a pool ball or a golf ball, when it curves, it starts spinning up more. Mm-hmm. As it slows down, moving across the table or the green.
Yeah, one force takes over for the other one.
Because it can't escape the pull of the sun.
Mm-hmm. So the Earth moves around the sun. The sun is massive.
Massively massive.
Massively massive.
But not the most massively thing.
Oh, no, definitely not. But, you know, the Earth goes around that once a year, so we're probably moving pretty darn fast.
Yeah, there's a figure here somewhere.
I think it's like 5,000 miles a second.
Yeah, that sounds.
It's measured by seconds, and it's got thousands. So that's how fast the Earth moves. But how fast does the Sun move?
Through the galaxy or rotating?
Both. Because it does both, doesn't it? I mean, I know we're spinning on the galactic arm, which takes like 10 billion years to go around. Which is another just massively huge thing.
If you can call it an orbit, though. I mean, there seems like there's so much stuff that no two go-arounds would be exactly the same.
Yeah. Well, you're still going around in circles. It's just there's lots of crap.
Yeah, but
you'd
be like spiraling rather than meeting another point in your previous orbit as you come back around.
Well, you know, the sun goes up and down over the what you call the accretion disk of the universe, or not the universe, but the galaxy.
I don't think it's an accretion disk. I don't know what it would be, though.
Well, it's a big...
The ether. That's like 19th century style, maybe?
Yeah. But they say that it's a black hole, and black holes cause, like, a gravity disk.
At the center?
No,
of the galaxy?
Of the galaxy, yeah. But it's like of the black holes at the center, but then there's like a record of disk. Like a big 45 record. And like, it's so intense that the gravity like shoots out to the side and pulls it down. Like a record that's has a gravity pull, like a big magnet, almost.
Interesting.
So then we move up and down on this little record that's pulling us, and as it's like diving into water and swimming back up to the top. And diving
is that because the black hole is rotating quickly, though?
It could be, yeah. The black holes are supposed to spin really fast, apparently.
Yeah, that's why we don't get sucked in, because everything's being pushed away at its equator.
Not lucky us.
Also, I heard a weird thing. You know how the Andromeda Galaxy is supposed to collide with us? If their black holes actually went on a collision course, they wouldn't form into a supermassive or double supermassive black hole. They would actually bounce off each other.
Is that really?
Yeah. Due to gravitational waves. So that's the only way that a black hole can lose energy, to send out a pulse of gravity.
Mm.
And as they get closer, those pulses, like, collide with each other. Mm. And what happens is one of them stops dead, and the other shoots away.
Like two magnets. That, like,
yeah, exactly. But on the gravity side of things.
Wow.
I guess if you think about it, the most extreme gravitational things do things that we see in magnets. So, what the fuck's going on with magnets?
Yeah. That wild magnet.
Like, so what's the black hole of the magnetic force? Like some crazy sunspot?
The electromagnet? Because the electromagnetism is supposed to be like a billion times stronger than normal gravity.
Well, it can easily overcome gravity, just any magnetic field. But, like, what happens, like, you know, sunspots have an extremely strong magnetic field, and when the poles get separated is when bad things happen.
Like right now.
Some of them. You've seen on, what, Strange Observer, yeah. Suspicious Observer.
Yeah. Well, it's supposed to flip its poles every 11 years during a solar maximum. Like, it boils itself up so good it just pops and flips. That's supposed to happen every 11 years.
We're at a minimum, though.
No, this is supposed to be maximum. We're at maximum.
Really?
But for some weird reason, it's pretty much just the southern hemisphere that's lighting up this time.
Maybe because of the solar anvil.
Yeah.
Sucking out our plasmas or whatever it's doing.
Yeah. It could be another incoming celestial body too. Reacting with overpowering the magnetic sphere.
Oh, so we're scraping against something magnetically?
Yeah. Like a dwarf star.
Oh, that would be cool. I want to see some dwarf stars.
Well, they don't put off any light. It's just heat. And everything in the solar system is getting
warmer.
Yeah,
a brown dwarf. Just a little bit of infrared floating around.
It's, and all the planets are getting warmer.
Hmm.
Sounds to me like we got an extra heat source somewhere.
Yeah, people are talking about seeing two suns or whatever.
That's really creepy, because I've seen some of those photos. Like, oh, that's just your screen door or whatever.
Yeah.
You're looking out your window.
Those people need to stop posting.
But the people that are outside and, like, they're actually, like, moving the camera around to show you it's not a lens flare, because the alleged lens flare has a lens flare. So.
Hmm. Maybe it's just swamp gas reflecting off Venus.
I'd buy that.
For a dollar.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
No!
Oh, I hit it twice, for fuck's sake.
Double. It was... Yeah, it,
double,
it
double,
was,
triple,
it,
single.
Yeah, it was worth it, though.
Fucked around and got a triple double.
Of course... The heating of the solar system might be due to us being closer to the galactic disk.
Yeah, so we're scraping along that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we're just entering a scrapey epoch.
Yeah, a trifecta of fuck.
So, I think things will survive.
Definitely.
But,
man, it's gonna be a wild ride.
Hmm.
If it all pans out.
Sort of getting back to magnets, like, if there's something affecting our magnetic field, and we do know there is some changes happening in the magnetic field,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Maybe we could construct something to fix it, or
we need a bunch of
fend
big
against
magnets,
like Tesla-style death
shield.
Yeah.
What do they do? What do they do in that one episode of Star Trek? With the, it was Picard's girlfriend that was playing the piano with him with the flute, and he ordered her down to the planet to protect the settlement, the colony, and they erected a force field to protect the winds.
From, like, the firestorm plasma stuff.
So, you know, why can't we help out the planet by using our knowledge of electromagnetism, which is stronger than gravitational magnetism, and make some shield generators for our magnetic shield that is suffering.
Yeah, well, and to that end, why couldn't you use the same thing to make, like, a colony on Mars where you could start generating atmosphere, and because there's that magnetic shield, it doesn't get stripped away by solar wind.
Yeah. We should be scientists.
Just plop down a colony wherever you need. You just have to construct additional pylons.
But we need more minerals.
No!
Someone out there's laughing.
The right person.
Yeah.
So I guess Uranus has a bunch of moons named after Pokemon, apparently. There's Psychorax, Prospero, Cetabos, and Ferdinand. Well, Prospero, that's Shakespeare, I guess. Psychorax is definitely a Pokemon, though. That's gotta be a Pokemon.
I think I caught that in the red Game Boy version.
Oh, check out this sentence. I'm gonna skip the numbers. Or no, I'm not. The intermediate inclinations, 60 degrees to 140 degrees, are devoid of known moons due to this Kozai instability.
Whoa.
I wonder if that has something to do with tachyon particles. In celestial mechanics, the Kozai mechanism causes a periodic exchange between the inclination and eccentricity of an orbit.
I don't know what most of that means.
Okay, eccentricity of an orbit is how warped it is from a perfect circle.
Doesn't Pluto have one of those? And most comets.
Yes. And I think it also qualifies as eccentric if it's... Or no, maybe this would be inclination if it's... a high degree off the ecliptic of the solar system.
So
which Uranus's moons are.
Okay.
So I guess it's saying there's no stable orbits for moons that aren't equatorial with regards to Uranus. The Kozai instability. I still think it has something to do with subspace tetrion fields.
There's something weird going on there. Auroras have been seen for the first time there recently.
On Uranus?
Mm-hmm.
I saw something about massive storms on there.
Yeah. I think Saturn is getting a new storm, and Jupiter's big red storm is losing energy, and it's lost an entire ring of storms, I think. And it's developing. I don't think it might
have. I think it had a ring, like, that means one on each side of the equator, because it's semi-symmetrical. So it'd be two complete bands of storms.
Like one on the top, one on the bottom?
Yeah, one north, one south, at about the same degrees.
Weird.
Latitude, right?
Yeah, well, that makes sense. I think in the picture they saw, it was just one on the bottom, like on the south.
So something coming from the south?
Everything happens in the south. I mean, like, the southern part of the sun. Apparently you can see the second sun from southern hemispheres here on Earth.
Well, maybe I should go to Australia then.
You can see what's going on.
Just to stargaze.
Yeah.
Try not to get bit by snakes or spiders.
Or caught up in a flood or something.
Yeah, flash floods there too, right? A bright red sandstorm that makes your life look like hell for a bit.
Yeah. Like you were on Mars.
Mars has a blue sky, though. I was just griping about that in various movies. They always show it as red. It's like, it's the same kind of shit that we have in our atmosphere, just different amounts of it. What would even make a red atmosphere? Glowing hydrogen.
With that weird hexagon storm on Saturn.
That is weird, but it's kind of a cool natural feature.
Mm-hmm.
I looked it up, and this, if there's a band of atmosphere that's turbulent, like a hurricane, for example, and it's moving at a different speed than the rest of the atmosphere, the storms are pushed out and elongated, and they sort of flatten. So since there were five storms in that band of atmosphere in that region, they were all pushed to form a boundary that's... Or, well, it was six, right? Because it's a hexagon.
Anyway, yeah.
A natural, stable, regular polygon.
I think that's on the North Pole of Saturn.
It's on one of them. That planet that planetary system is really strange.
Yeah, I don't know.
Giant rings. One of the biggest moons in the solar system.
Is it bigger than the moon, or is it second to the moon?
I think it's bigger than the moon. I could look at.
I know that our moon's the only one in the solar system that covers the sun perfectly. I don't know if
that's everything else just transits.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if that means anything for Earth.
But although, maybe we're thinking about it from the wrong angle. Like, if you live in the Jupiter system, you're not going to live on Jupiter, right?
Probably.
So we should look at how the moons eclipse each other. Not Jupiter.
That's interesting. God, I bet night sucks on some of those moons.
Or is no different than day.
Yeah, that's true.
So, we were talking about caves on Mars. Those are pretty much, like, if there's a giant ocean under Europa or whatever, that's a cave without the rocky... cave part.
It's just got ice for the cave.
Just a black thing in the void.
I was just wondering if you were to actually fly out there in some sort of a spacecraft and you didn't have any lights on, would you see the planets like Jupiter and things like that? Are they well lit like we often see, or is that an overexposure?
It probably is an overexposure, but they are lit by daylight. But, like, the astronauts in orbit supposedly see a sunrise and sunset every 90 minutes or something from orbiting so fast, so... Whoa. You might just sort of... Like, when it's night on your trajectory out of the solar system, it's night for a while, I bet. Or so often that you don't even notice it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this picture of Titan is in natural color, taken by the Cassini probe. And you can see how it relative to Cassini's point of view, it's in a certain phase.
Sort of hazy.
Yeah, but there's like a night side and a day side visible.
Mm. Okay.
Like the moon.
Yeah.
But the black side would be so black. Didn't the astronauts who went around the dark side of the moon talk about how dark, how truly dark it was?
Well, I'm sure.
Like, sort of a harrowing experience.
Well, it's totally blocking out the light. That would probably be pretty terrifying. You're in this little aluminum can flying around a foreign planet, and you suddenly lose sight of the one thing that brings you closer to home, which is the sun.
The only way back is towards that thing.
Yeah. You can't see it anymore.
It's not unlike the ocean, though. We always draw that comparison in fiction,
mm-hmm.
especially Star Trek.
Yeah.
Like, you get out in the ocean, that's pretty scary shit.
Mm.
I think I'd rather be in the vacuum of space than the middle of the deep ocean.
In a submarine.
At least in the vacuum of space, you can decide that you can't take it and just...
open an airlock.
Vent your shit.
Yeah.
Vent your shit out your ears. I bet. Oh, 'cause they say like your eyeballs and your nose and everything with small blood vessels starts bleeding almost immediately.
In the vacuum of space.
If you had a deuce on deck, that's just not sucked out, blown out. Titan orbits Saturn once every 15 days and 22 hours.
Saturn's pretty darn big compared to the Earth, right?
Yeah, very big.
Very big.
I think it's the biggest.
I thought Jupiter was the biggest. I thought Saturn was second. Unless you count the diameter of the rings.
Saturn is a gas giant with a radius about 9 times that of Earth.
Jesus. Oh, man. I wonder if there's a rock planet, kind of like Earth, that's like the size of Jupiter. Or Saturn.
That would be horrifying. Like, if you landed on it...
Oh, yeah, your super gravity.
Your bones and crush your organs.
Well, us, we're pretty fragile little creatures.
Yeah. What, you change the average temperature 5 degrees and we all die?
Probably.
Forces us to the equatorial zone.
So, in September of 2013, there's supposed to be a really bright comet that passes through the solar system.
September.
Mm-hmm.
So, is that... does that mean that the catastrophe that is coming in 2012 is ongoing, or came and went?
It'll probably be... continuing, I think, if something's going on. Well, all these crazy things have been escalating ever since, you know, like 1998. Things got a little crazy, you know, not a big deal. You got, oh, we got 2 more normal earthquakes, big deal. And 99.
Not true.
got up two more than last year, no big deal. In 2006, they were like, this is a crazy year. This is nuts. And in 2007, okay, this is worse than last year. This year's nuts. And then 2008,
yeah, it's always the worst year on record.
Yeah, it is just continuing. It's continuing.
And now, like, I remember in 2004, there were a lot of hurricanes, a high number, but they weren't particularly destructive. Now it seems like the numbers are going back to normal, but the strength is going way up.
Category 5s and stuff.
For earthquakes, for hurricanes. Hopefully not for volcanoes, although there was one of those pretty recently, remember? The one that shut down air traffic in Europe for a while.
Startling events. Yellowstone's getting a little 1.0s and 2.0s.
Hopefully that's normal. I'd imagine there's lots of seismic activity around there just from...
I don't know if it, like 1.0s and 2.0s are normal, but I'd imagine, like, you know, every time Old Faithful erupts, it's probably like a 0.2.
Yeah, it definitely registers whatever.
And I think that would be normal activity.
Like, think of, like, but when you flush your toilet and the pipes in your house go make noises or knocks, that's vibration happening. Like, all that water underneath Yellowstone is just rushing around through various carved out waterways. Some of them probably are dead ends.
Heated by really hot stuff real close to the surface.
Oh, that's so weird.
Like, and people visit this place and stand on top of it.
The water is super heated, which means the pressure is keeping it liquid as it heats above boiling.
Whoa.
Yeah. Hey, let's go. Let's take Rover into the sulfur pit. That'll be a fun experience.
Disappear.
Don't run after that squirrel, no. Oh, and by the way, the water's also highly acidic. Or basic. Or, you know, just choose your favorite caustic mixture.
Insert pH here.
Or you could fall into the mud pots and be preserved there for eternity. Like some kind of mammoth. There's not much of that on other planets. There should be an entire moon of mud pots and weird colored sulfide runoff mineral deposit. Planet stalactite. I wonder if that'd build up, like, you have the ice moons that have cryovolcanoes, where just pressure makes the water eventually reach the surface and burst out into the atmosphere, where the pressure's so low that it just sort of gets swept away. But if it was full of the kind of stuff that's in Yellowstone's hot springs, like, wouldn't it deposit sort of a porous mountain of stuff. Various minerals. Like hard water build up in your shower head.
Yeah.
But calcium extreme.
Yeah. Well, there's all kinds of stuff in magma, isn't there? Like, things we want.
All kinds of minerals. I think it's mostly silicates. But lots of iron, usually, I think.
Yeah, that would make sense.
We don't see many volcanoes happening out in the solar system.
Well, aren't we really the only one with the dynamo? The active core?
Yeah, so would that be responsible for it? I mean, well, Mars has its former volcanoes.
Yeah, but the core is dead, right? Like, that's why.
Apparently, yeah.
That's why they don't have an atmosphere anymore.
Yeah.
I think.
Without the magnetic field, the solar wind strips it away. We are seeing, though, like, to mention the cryovolcanoes again, like, there is a surprising amount of activity way out there on the outer planets happening at extreme cold temperatures where 10 degrees, even though it's negative 180 whatever centigrade,
yeah,
makes enough difference to cause a reaction.
Snaps and stuff, and
or like
sheets.
The gas giant that is the moon is orbiting around is perturbing it enough to give it enough energy to support life, possibly.
Yeah,
or well, just to cause liquid water to form on the ice ones, or to keep a volcanic system moving. I don't know if it have a magnetic field. Anything that lives in the dark could maybe live on some of those moons.
Yeah.
Like mushrooms.
They like the darkness.
Because they came from the space, from outer space, man.
Yeah.
I don't know. Panspermia is an interesting idea, but it's hard to verify.
We don't need to verify it. We just gotta look at them. They're weird.
We gotta live long enough to see that the guy who sneezed on one of the Martian probes gave birth to a whole race of weird creatures. You never know.
I'm simply saying that life finds a way.
So true.
Saturn has a very hot interior reaching 11,700 degrees centigrade at its core.
So I'm sure it radiates a pretty good amount of heat.
Yeah.
I wonder why all its rings are so frozen.
I've heard that the rings either were a moon that its orbit decayed to such a degree that it broke up into pieces, or that it's stuff that never formed a moon, that it might form one someday.
Astronomically soon.
Yeah, so never in any time, we'll see.
Universe time.
Oh, I had an interesting thought. We were talking about warping earlier and how it would affect the light. What if you warped to a place, say, a million or a billion light years away, and then looked back at our solar system?
You'd be seeing a past.
You'd see it. So you just go far enough out that you can look back at it and see it as it was when it was forming.
Mm-hmm. Whoa.
And then you can figure out whether Saturn's rings were a moon or are a moon.
Or will be a moon.
Although, at that point, what does any of that truly mean?
We're just a clock.
You're just warping time so much that it loses all meaning. Mm. You get back to Earth and it's the 15th century for some reason.
Then it means something.
And then you're like, fuck.
Damn it, I came back too fast.
The plague! But you're the only one that knows to eat mold. For penicillin.
Yeah.
When everybody sees you and they think you're some kind of soft-brained, crazy person feeding on the garbage.
And then they hang you. Or they...
Well, when you don't get the plague, they make the logical conclusion that you're some kind of witch.
Sorcerer.
Sorcery. How come nobody ever said, if I was really a sorcerer, do you think I'd be in chains here?
Well...
Treachery! You will not use your serpent's tongue to get out of...
Yeah. Yeah. Those poor people.
Guess they should have learned magic. Like David Copperfield. How are you going to hang me when the gallows is gone?
Or Ravine?
Ravine the Impossibilist?
Yeah.
He is quite the Impossibilist. Hexagonal pattern on Saturn is indeed on the North Pole.
Huh. Oh, that's pretty gnarly. What's that?
That is a storm, a global storm. Whoa. In Saturn's northern hemisphere in 2011.
Wow.
So I wonder what Earth could do. I mean, it's nowhere near that size, but...
Yeah.
Well, should we pick a song and wrap it up?
Star Trek.
How about the Klingon Warrior anthem?
Okay.
Koi kelles pook lod, koi pook bek poo. Yuck bo mafo jesu me, say mok shu me oo. Mashu my long, and mok so chu, nebe in mok of wong koo. But my cherry bets as yo bees, ma fam pu ma dee, me correct ma to talk to my bell, for ma shu talk ma o. Koi kelles pook lod, koi pook.